Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to be teaching face to face. I've missed it so much. My name is Anne Byers. I'm a Senior Researcher Development Associate for Life Sciences. Wow, what a tongue twister that is. I'm a professional skills trainer and I focus on life science training because life science is my background. Many moons ago, you can probably tell by the grey hair, I was a PhD student like you, but at the other university, Oxford. Sorry, everyone. Yeah, someone's got to go there, I suppose. I did my PhD and I did two postdocs. So I understand what research is like. I understand the frustrations and the excitement that you're going to go through. But teaching is where my passion is, and this has been the perfect role for me for the past 5 years. So I'm going to give you a brief introduction into research and development and how you can get involved with it during your time here at Cambridge. But first of all, what is research and development? You may have heard research and development called different things, CV fodder. I've heard that. Soft skills, those skills that you have to learn that aren't related to the research project that you're doing. Transferable skills, we all hear about transferable skills. It's quite a buzzword. That extra little bit that you perhaps need to do. Some people might even just think of it as an excuse to have a day out in the lab. I certainly remember that being floated around when I was doing my PhD. Oh, it's just an excuse for you to have a day out of the lab. But actually, there's an awful lot more to research and development. It's all about the learning and the development that you might wish to experience and acquire during your time here at Cambridge. So research and development is here to give you the skills, not only for today to help start your PhD, to help drive your PhD forward, but also for the future, whatever that might be. It might be that you go and do a postdoc or you go into a different career. Research and development is here to help you develop those skills so that you can achieve your career aims. So ultimately, we're here to prepare you to become professional researchers. So who are we? We're led by the Deputy Head of the Cambridge Centre for Teaching and Learning, or CCTL for short, Dr. Annette Mahon. And there are four of us research and development associates. Myself, you'll see a lot of me, Sam Byers, as you've already been told. I'm a life science specialist. You might also see my colleague, Dr. Sonia Tomaskovich. She is responsible for postgraduates within physical sciences and technology. So we share a lot of the STEM training because STEM training is pretty similar across the board. And it's nice for you to kind of mix with people that are slightly outside of your discipline. That's how collaborations happen. So we've got it all planned for you. We also have two other developers as well, Christian Gilliam and Amanda Brunton. They both look after the Schools of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences. And you might hear from Amanda because she's also associated with InkPath, which is a booking platform, which I'll briefly talk to you about in a bit. So how is postgraduate research and development organised here at Cambridge? I like to see it as a funnel. At the top of that funnel, you've got us, research and development. We're here to help support you develop those professional skills, those general professional skills, such as writing, presenting, and resilience, because we all need a bit of resilience during a PhD, okay? But as we go down the funnel and go towards the next part of it, it becomes more subject specific. So, for example, right down here at the bottom, you're going to see more subject specific training from the school, from your departments. So how do you access all of this training here at Cambridge? From us, it's our website, www.rdp.cam.ac.uk. I'll happily send these slides over to Andrew, who will send them over to you, so you don't need to rush writing down our webpage. But if you click on that, you'll see right at the top there, we've got a Getting Started tab, because we'd like to help you get started. And this section is all focused on the things that you need to think about in your first year. The other thing that you'll become familiar with is InkPath. It's going to become your friend. Yeah, you're going to love it. It's a booking platform where all of the training provided, not only by research and development, but also the libraries, the School of Biostatistics, the School of Scholarly Communication, all of those providers have their training on this platform, which you can book, and it will remind you that you've got your training, so you'll never forget. Everyone loves a reminder. So this is the website to give you a little bit more information on InkPath and how to sign up. So where do you begin? Because that's an awful lot of overwhelming information that I've just given you. Well, I would say in your first year, start thinking about establishing a foundation of skills. Okay, so think about time management. Think about managing your project. get training on presenting your work, not only perhaps using PowerPoint, but also presenting with impact. Creative thinking training. I know that sounds a bit weird. You're scientists, right? And I'm telling you to think about creative thinking training. But actually being creative and thinking in a creative way is how we have those innovative ideas, particularly when we have results that perhaps have thrown us a bit. They aren't what we're expecting. And also think about writing and working with your supervisor. Now, if anybody listens, I actually said your first year, I'm not expecting you to get all of that training done in your first term. Okay, that's a lot of information that you need to learn. And there's other more important things that you want to get involved, get started with in your first term. So during your first term, we suggest that you do the following. Just get to know your supervisor. Yeah, it's a new relationship you're establishing. Okay, and it's going to be one that you're going to be in for a while. So ask to set up regular meetings if they haven't already suggested, and get to learn how they like to review things, for example. If they like to review things when you're writing, do they like to review things in sections, or do they want to see it in its entirety? Use this first term to really get to understand how they work and show them how you would like to work so you can forge a really nice, close relationship. Get involved with your department and your college. Familiarise yourself with your environment, your peers and the culture that surrounds you, particularly if you haven't been here, you haven't studied here at Cambridge before, because it is quite different. Okay, so get to know that. Read the CAM guide that's been produced for you by the Office of Scholarly Communications, which gives you the information and resources for you to get started with your studies here at Cambridge. Start to review the literature in your research area and build in a reading habit into your schedule so that reading is a pleasure and not a chore. Yeah? Establish a reference management database. I can't recommend that enough. If that's the only thing that you get done in your first term, please do it, because it's a lot easier to get that established now than when you're trying to write your thesis in 3 years' time. Trust me. Okay. Study a range of common techniques and tools within your research area so you become familiar with it, so that when you actually start your project, perhaps on your own and you're not being supervised or shown by postdocs or other PhD members of the team, you're familiar with them and you can hit the ground running. And also familiarise yourself with the code of practice for research students so you know all the nitty-gritties of the do's and don'ts, okay? So that's what we recommend that you do in your first term. Then after that, in your second term, you can start thinking about filling in the skills analysis survey that InkPath will provide you. So you've got a term under your belt, you can use that for reflection. You can think to yourself, right, what skills am I missing to help me, that I need to develop to help me move forward into my second term, into my third term, into my second year, and so on. Okay, and the skills analysis survey that InkPath provides will help you to develop that personalized development plan. And ultimately, that will help you get into this cycle of reflecting and reviewing the skills that you have and thinking about your project moving forward. So it will allow you to go through a cycle of identifying areas that you need to develop and finding the resources, the departments that can help you develop those skills. Here's just an example of some of those departments that can help you push those skills boundaries to help you drive that project of yours forward. So you've got researcher development. You've got your skills in your department. You've got the Cambridge Centre for Teaching and Learning if you're interested in teaching. You've got public engagement if you're interested in communicating your science to the wider public. Biostatistics, bioinformatics, yeah. We've got the Language Centre if you're interested in learning a language, and the Office of Scholarly Communication that provides skills training on things such as plagiarism and copyright and database management and those things as well. I like research development. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I appreciate that it's just a small part of what you're going to do over the next 3 or 4 years that you're here. Okay, so but how much research development training should you do? We recommend 10 days a year, but it doesn't have to be 10 solid days. It could be 10 days broken down into a couple of hours here, attending a webinar, attending a conference. It could be looking at asynchronous static material that you can find on LinkedIn, that perhaps you could find during TED Talks, reading around your subject, as well as those face-to-face sessions that will be provided for you. So think about how you can incorporate those 10 days into your schedule. I'm coming towards the end now. Another thing that is really important that I would like you to take home is to please take a break. Okay, you are going to complete your PhD. Okay, Please remember that when things start to feel a little bit overwhelming, okay? And just take a break. It's really important that you establish a healthy work-life balance in order to become a productive researcher. So please, please, please remember to take breaks, because you do deserve them and you do deserve to be kind to yourself. So that's all from me. If anybody has any questions that they don't want to perhaps ask now, there's my email address and there's our website. All that's left for me to say is I wish you all the very best, and I look forward to working with you at some point during your PhD. Thank you.
I have a particular question, Sam, which is something we shouldn't brief you about, should have briefed you about, but half our students here are masters,
okay,
half a PhD.
Sorry.
So now go back. Okay. And can you advise what the master students should be doing?
Yes. Everything that I've said, please don't ignore. It's all applicable to you, okay? Perhaps what you might want to be thinking about in your first term is actually, as well as getting to know your supervisor and reviewing the literature, establishing all of those things that I suggested that you should do in your first term, also think about perhaps taking that skills analysis survey towards the end of this first term. So once you've started your project and you've got some you've got your feet under the table, you've got your project going, then start reflecting on the skills that you're going to need in order to drive that project forward, to get your written work done and finish on time.
So all the courses are open to,
yes, all the courses are open to masters and to PhD students. Yes,
good, very good. We've got time for some questions, including from, if anyone who's online wants to type something into chat, I can pick that up as well. Do we have any questions for Sam? Do you all got the links for where you can pick up this ink pad and other information? Wave your hand if you don't know, if you haven't yet worked out where to get it. The view.
Okay, no problem. I'll send a link.
Okay.
I'll send the slides.
Ben, are we going to be sending relevant? So Ben at the back there is making sure that this is all working okay, and is going to make sure that he's recording this, and is going to make sure it's available as well. But the links for this sort of thing, have we got them? Where are they? Okay. So for those of you online, it says that the links to the recording will be sent to you, as well as the links to anything else you need. Good. Any questions though for what do you want to say? We haven't got Matt or anyone from Biostats.
Okay.
Coming. Could you say a bit about Biostats bioinformatics training?
No problem at all. So I kind of come as a package, me and Matt, don't we, really?
Yeah.
So you'll no doubt see a very friendly, tall man called Dr. Matt Castle at some point during your time here. So Matt is head of the Biostatistics and Bioinformatics Department here at Cambridge, and he leads a team who provide training in a whole host of subject areas that are biostatistics and bioinformatics related. So for example, he does courses which introduce statistics using R. He also does, I think they do MATLAB as well. There's lots of other things that they do. They use a slight system to us. It's called the University Training Booking System, or UTBS. So again, we'll make sure that they have the links to that. His stuff does book up very quickly, because it's quite popular, because they're very good. They're a very good team that makes statistics actually make sense, which I wish I'd have had in my PhD. So yes, definitely check out the biostatistics and bioinformatics department.
Some of you will. There's somebody unmuted. Okay, done. I would definitely recommend that those of you who are going to do PhDs particularly go on these biostats course. Some of you will be registered already if you're part of one of the programs, but for the rest of you, do look out for it, because he gets sort of 9.5, 10 out of 10 scores for everyone who goes through it. He does fantastic courses, so do look out for them. Got a question in the back?
Yes, so there, yes, you're by all means welcome to join us. So we do a mixture of online and face-to-face. So our face-to-face sessions last no longer than an hour. They are based in central Cambridge because they're open to all PhD students across university. And so for us, it's just a bit easier to have it based centrally. It's at the Student Service Centre. So it's next to John Lewis, as an FYI, everyone, OK? So perhaps come to us and then John Lewis and then the bus station, and then you can come back. And the online one, the online sessions that we do run for no longer than an hour and a half, and they tend. No, so they're not per week. We try and run something once a week, but there's no requirement for you to do everything. Okay, it's usually that we do many iterations of the same thing. So, for example, writing your first year report, you'll see that that's cut that. That from Lent through to Easter term, we'll run that about four or five times, so that it's given you the opportunity for you to attend that course and fit it in with your other studies. No problem.
Any more questions?
Yes. Yep.
For those of you online, this is a question about if there's a sample of the first year report anywhere.
We don't have samples. The reason why I say that is because each department tends to have their own set of rules for their first year report. And so it's very difficult for us to give it.
So they'll give you some sort of general generic sort of training in how to write. So there's some overall rules from the university about things that have to happen. And if a first year report has to happen, for those of you doing PhDs, for those of you doing masters, the end of your first year report is your masters. But you should, the exact content of it varies slightly by department. So you should ask your departmental postgraduate administrator, and they'll make sure you have the instructions, and you can ask them if they can show you previous ones from people. Usually it's something like, written up a bit like a research paper. But there will be specific limits in some places on formatting or length and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there's particular modules, as a PhD student, if there are particular modules on one of the MPhil courses that might be helpful for your PhD, is it possible to audit them as well? Or is that kind of some of those skills covered in this training or not?
So if you're looking at subject specific skills, from my understanding, there is nothing to say you can't go and sit in lectures for MPhil or undergraduate teaching. I think the general thing is that you would approach the person that's running that session. So I suppose the thing that what I would suggest there is perhaps have a look at the skills that they're covering in that session. And have a look to see whether we do something which is similar. There's nothing to stop you from going to both. If you've got time, perhaps encourage that, because what somebody might say about presenting might be slightly different to what I teach you about presenting. And actually then you've got this lovely situation where you can take bits from each other. I'm not going to stand here and say what I say to people in my training is actually what you have to do. What we're here to do is to provide you an environment to try new skills and develop them into a way that helps support you and your personal journey during your PhD, during your master's, during your career development here at Cambridge. Okay. Yes. So
that's definitely one of the courses. Yes. I know is starting on Tuesday. So there's one course for some of our programs that starts then and runs weekly on Tuesday, so that would be that one.
Yeah.
For 8 weeks.
If you can't make some of those, just get in touch with Matt, because I appreciate that they're linked courses for a reason, but there is some degree of flexibility. If, say, for example, you've got an experiment that perhaps runs on one of those Tuesdays, Matt is pretty flexible, and he does run a hybrid session as well for some of these as well. So just get in touch with them, because you might be able to just catch it online as well.
So Matt Castle is the word to look out for there.
Yes.
Any other questions? Yes. Okay. Yes, go on.
So there is the opportunity to get involved with undergraduate teaching. So there's the undergraduate supervision system. So there's an undergrad a course which is run by the Cambridge Centre of Teaching and Learning, or CCTL, which is a lot easier to say. Again, Matt's involved with that as well, and I suspect he would be the one that teaches you the science part of that. But there is this effective undergraduate supervision training that you have to undertake in order for you to then be able to go to a DOS and say, is it possible for me to provide supervision to students on a particular course within the college? It doesn't have to specifically be in your college, it could be in other colleges as well. So just have a chat with the director of study for your college and they'll help you. The other thing to do is perhaps speak to your department. Perhaps if you haven't got any undergraduate research that goes on in your department, perhaps reach out to other departments, perhaps within the School of Biological Sciences, and see whether or not they do, my understanding, they do allow demonstrators to come in and help with the undergraduate research training.
But we don't actually have undergraduate teaching down here. So my advice would be, I mean, some of our students do teach, they give supervisions. I think the first thing to do is probably to talk to your supervisor, because the other question is how long it's going to take. And you might think that it's only an hour a week, but by the time you've prepared for teaching for an hour a week, especially if you, for those of you who've been through a Cambridge degree, which I don't think is very many of you, then you might know what the course content is. For anyone coming from outside, I know it can be quite a lot of work to learn what the student needs to know before you then teach it. So I would suggest as you start by talking to your supervisor, because they might also have links in and can advise you which courses it might be good to teach on and which ones might not be so easy to teach on.
Okay. And I suggest perhaps doing it in your second year as well. Get yourself get yourself sorted, and then go in and look at exploring those teaching opportunities.
Okay, now I think we should keep to time. So thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you.